Now these are the problems we can see, but it's the water beneath this saturated county that's the hidden menace when it comes to flood risk.
Hello and welcome wherever you're tuning in from. I'm Zoya, Marketing Associate here at Instech, and I'm taking over from Matthew whilst he's away with Robin at our event in New York. A huge thank you to everyone who joined us on the 14th at Google's office. We look forward to coming back again in June. Look out for us then. This week we welcome GeoSmart on the podcast as Matthew speaks to Mark Fermor on flood risk, particularly touching on the lesser known risk of groundwater.
Mark, it's great to have you. She saw you already this week on Tuesday at our Risk Manager event. I hope that was useful. And actually, almost as boring, I hope you managed to get some pizza, because someone I spoke to, by the time he finished speaking to me, he ran out of pizza. Well, we'd run out of pizza. But anyway, was it useful for you?
It's great to be with you, Matthew. And it was great to be at that event. It's a great venue for the networking and getting together. Very sadly, living in the back of beyond in Shrewsbury, I have to run for the train just as the pizza is being served. So had to pass on that one.
Well, we'll give you a special early pizza next time. But we do feel very honoured when people like you come down, because, well, I guess you've got a couple of hours on the train to get down to London for the events. So thanks to you and your team for coming down and joining us. So let's talk a bit about GeoSmart. So you are an information provider of flood data and analytics across the UK. Your modelling tool covers all sources of flooding. We're going to be talking about that, including the ones that people probably know best, river flash flooding and tidal, but also groundwater. The data is being used to understand individual flood risk right down to the individual property level. And you were founded back in 2013 by Mark. You were involved in that. And interesting, you were a previously hydrologist and you're now chairman of GeoSmart. And I also just learned today you originally come from Ottawa, Canada.
Yeah, well, I left Canada at the age of two, so I can't claim a great Canadian-ness, really. But having spent 25 years working on catchment flooding problems as a consultancy, we brought a team across in a sort of spin-out startup as GeoSmart to focus on developing solutions as a data analytics business. And we've been developing a better understanding of flood risk in the UK over the last few years. So our IP, really, and our know-how has grown out of our site practice as flood specialists and working on catchment problems with water companies, environment agency, infrastructure, network rail, etc.
So, Mark, we all know flood's a problem. It's around us. It's a problem for insurance companies. But when you look at what you're offering with GeoSmart, what specific problems? What problems are you helping insurers solve?
So, one of the problems is about risk communication. We need better joined-up thinking. There's so much complexity, and one of the problems is fragmentation in the sort of representation of different data. So, we've done a lot of work to bring that all together and understand that as a single number for flood nationally on a consistent basis. You can drill down from there to more detail, but the top line, you need to know, you know, what's the flood risk. The second problem really is that the predictive accuracy of the models is still poor. And with climate change, there's a more urgent, pressing need to, you know, predict what changes. But we've got to get the baseline risk estimates right before you can make adequate climate risk predictions.
And then I mentioned this in passing briefly, but just coming back to the different ways that people can experience floods. So we've got rivers bursting their banks. You've got flash flooding, which is basically surface water flooding that can happen outside of traditional flood areas. You've got tidal. So most people are aware of those three, but you've also helping people understand groundwater, and that's the area that people are likely to understand a little bit less. Can you just talk a bit about what is groundwater and why is it so important to understand?
So it's partly about groundwater, but it's also about all these different interactions. So the flash flooding you're talking about is influenced by the state of the ground. Essentially, groundwater flooding is the emergence at the surface or into buildings and infrastructure when groundwater levels exceed their normal range. But it's also the surface runoff and ponding of that emergent groundwater. And that increases the pluvial risk at certain locations. Groundwater-driven sewer flooding also happens when water tables exceed the invert of unlined sewers. And then with river flooding, the overtopping of the riverbanks when the river flow exceeds the capacity. And that's increased by the high base flow when groundwater levels are high. So the river flooding gets more likely as a result of the high groundwater. And then you get some similar interactions on the coast.
Okay, well, before we jump into the coast, because this is actually really interesting, I want to just come back a little bit just to make sure I'm understanding this. So essentially what's happening is you get a lot of rainfall, or it can come from other reasons, but you've got what you might think of as this hidden peril of water in the ground that we can't see. And actually, literally, what is it? Was it sitting in? I guess it's a combination of porous rocks, underwater rivers, and things like that.
So, you know, literally half the water in this country flows into the ground. It percolates and forms recharge to groundwater. That then flows through the aquifers until it emerges downstream in the rivers. That forms base flow in the rivers. And so what happens is because that's a very slow pathway, it's the later rainfall events, some days or weeks later, that reach the river to coincide with that high base flow.
How does this issue of groundwater manifest itself outside of the UK?
There's actually been a lot of really interesting research from Oxford University and some people in the States and the Netherlands. And the studies of North America have really confirmed what we've seen in the UK, which is that the groundwater state is a very major driver of the river flooding. So those connections are not visible and people aren't aware, but actually it's the groundwater conditions that make the river flooding likelihood go up. And in fact, the correlation in North America has shown that the number one correlation in terms of rivers flooding is the groundwater base flow condition, even higher than the actual rainfall, which sounds a bit counterintuitive, but that's what shows the importance of the subsurface.
People often talk about the word antecedent, which I think is a lovely word, actually, but for those who don't understand antecedent, it basically means the conditions that came before. And it's really it's kind of what you're referring to, Mark, which is the fact that there's a certain predictive element that comes from understanding what the groundwater state is in terms of future flooding state. Obviously, you'd need a certain amount of additional rainfall on top of that to actually cause a flooding, I suspect. But it's the groundwater that, what you're saying, people don't really fully understand the impact and the ability to actually do better forecasting based on knowledge about the antecedent conditions. Have I got that right?
Yes, absolutely. Spot on.
Brilliant. Well, I came across this interesting soundbite from the BBC from Paul Ellis, one of your colleagues, who is being interviewed. And this, I think, illustrates exactly the point we're talking about. So let's just hear what the BBC spoke to Paul Ellis about.
But it's the water beneath this saturated county that's the hidden menace when it comes to flood risk.
The amount of water stored underground in the rock, known as groundwater, has increased significantly in recent weeks.
It's one of the steepest rises I've ever seen. Next time you get a rainfall event, that rain will be more likely to create flooding because the capacity of all the rivers and the drainage ditches is that much less because of all the groundwater that's in it.
So what happened after that?
Well, the high groundwater levels continued and the events, you know, have been quite damaging, actually. Because this very long duration of high groundwater levels is still impacting and we're actually still predicting a high flood risk in that area.
Yeah, it's always just to see when these things are borne out by real experience. And then how else are you tracking flood risk? Because to your point earlier, there's all these different ways of floods coming in. But what is sort of state of the art these days of understanding? Flood is fairly complicated, as you said. What is the sort of latest ways that people are looking to track the increasing flood risk? And I guess sort of also to the point about flooding getting worse in the next few days or weeks, to your earlier point.
We provide a daily live real-time groundwater forecast, shows up to 60 days ahead how primary catchments are for future flooding. And referring back to that BBC piece from last November, we can see actually right now that we have highly primed catchments across a lot of Britain, actually, dominated by groundwater-driven river flooding. And there's a very good example of how our groundwater forecast is bringing flood events into view many weeks ahead to help insurers manage events and also to give you a seasonal view on your exposure. So we've built real-time groundwater forecast models over the last 10 years. We're working initially with Thames Water to show how the rising groundwater predicts sewer infiltration, and working also as partners with the National Flood Forecasting Centre, which is a JV between the Met Office and the Environment Agency, and delivering the daily forecasts that fed into the national flood alerts and warnings and first responders and so on. You know, the Open Data Initiative from the Environment Agency was an excellent development for us. We were able to grab the National Telemetry Network groundwater river levels, building our cloud models that link to those and predicting future trends. So think of it as a forecast for base flow in the nation's rivers and also obviously the direct groundwater flooding and groundwater-driven flash flooding likelihood too.
It's a really great example of organizations like yourselves helping insurers access to open source data, but that data comes in the raw state and then it needs someone to be able to process it and draw some conclusions out of it. I also, as a great comment or quote, when you talk about highly primed groundwater, I mean, you can visualize these sort of saturated soils, ground, you know, all the places the water ends up ready just to burst out and cause a flood. It's a very sort of real way of understanding that. So yeah, thanks for bringing that to life. And then just talk a little bit about what insurers get from you. So if someone's working with GeoSmart, how are you helping them specifically with their own analysis, risk management, and all things insurers need to do to, you know, basically stay profitable and look after their clients?
So we've linked our data to property UPRNs. This is for Great Britain. And that means we can provide instant assessments for every property. And that data is licensable as a database or on a transactional basis through an API or our online platform. And we also assess larger sites based on a site polygon, such as a land registry title. And we can also deliver our database for clients, you know, to run alongside their normal data, maybe to provide an additional layer, such as flood depths or the groundwater layer, if that's what they're missing.
And for those that don't know the acronyms, UPRN is a unique property reference number. So in the UK and other, I think other countries are starting to do this, every building has got its own unique identifier, as the name implies, which is sort of where you're linking that to the flood risk.
Yes, that's right. So we have a financial loss model built in so that we're looking at the damage functions and looking at average annual losses and so on for every property. But we're also modelling on a 5-metre grid so we can obviously build up more specific understanding for larger sites as well as individual properties.
And I know you've got a way that people can access your service to test it out, even if you're there maybe in an insurance organisation and don't necessarily want to or need to go through all the procurement processes, just get directly to the data. Can you just talk a little bit about how does that work?
We'd be pleased to offer instant access to our FloodSmart analytics platform, you know, just for ad hoc use, actually. Just click on a property and get an instant flood report and data that you might need. And also the climate change impact prediction. And then you can obviously save that report, use it for internal, external comms, where they're looking at pricing, considering exposure, other uses. So that's a really accessible way to start with this new data, to work with this new data and get a feel for how it can add value to your current work. And it's also really easy to evaluate FloodSmart analytics on a bigger portfolio. If you've got a test portfolio or exposure locations, then just get those over to us. We'll run them through our model and quickly return a data sheet of results for you to have a look at. And then you can license the database entirely or a subset for a portfolio. We're also providing a sort of no obligation free trial access. So if you've already got risk data from other providers, you can use our data alongside and have a look.
Great. So lots of options in there. So you've got the, you can test it out. I think you said just like one individual building at a time. You can ramp it up to multiple buildings. People can work with you. I guess they're not doing this directly online, but this is where you mentioned send you the portfolio and you can help them understand it at a portfolio level. And you can even do some comparisons. So we'll put some links in the episode notes and also just on the website where we're talking about what we're doing with you to make those easy. But just on that sort of first one about the building one and coming back to your point about the unique property reference number, you've now got me very intrigued to see what my house flood risk is. I believe you've got part of that service coming out as almost like self-service. So at some point people are going to be able to go onto your website and actually put in a postcode and understand a flood score directly from the website. Is that right?
Yeah, so anyone will be able to just look up their house they're interested in and have an instant report for a small fee. And we'll be providing free access to insurers and some of the sector who obviously want to try that out to see if that adds value to what they're doing already.
Great. Okay, well, legitimate potential users or influencers or supporters of GeoSmart sounds like can look up their look at their property for free, and maybe hopefully Mark, I can look up mine as well. But that sounds like a great way to give people some real access to it. And I think, you know, often, as you mentioned, the challenge for insurers is that they have to go through a massive procurement process. I think what's so helpful about this is it keeps it below the level of you know, what people might have to go and get for procurement. They can test it out, doesn't get caught up in that sort of death spiral of approvals insurance companies suffer from. So that's a great idea for doing that. And as you look forward, what else should people be looking out for from GeoSmart in the next 12 months?
Yes. So there's a huge amount of work going on with our climate stuff at the moment. So we're going to be bringing out data to help the UK. And we're also really keen to extend to other territories such as USA and looking for partners who might be interested to work with us over there.
Brilliant. Well, we're going out to New York next week and back again in June. So it might be a little bit too early for you by June, but love to do something with you over in the US as well and introduce you to some of our friends. So, Mark, we've covered a lot. And as we've talked about, flood itself is going to be quite complicated. But what should people take away from this? If anyone says, what are Mark and Matthew talking about? What would you like them to remember about GeoSmart?
It's really got to be about the science, because if you don't have that better sort of understanding underlying these things, you don't get to the full picture. And, you know, it's about having a better approach to risk management. Flood is the biggest natural peril we face, and climate change impacts. We all need to take on board a more joined up model, really.
Well, Mark, it's been a fascinating discussion. I've learned a whole lot more about a topic I thought I knew quite a lot about. And I'm really looking forward to doing some more work with you, learning more what you're doing. And again, thank you very much for your support for Instead. I really value you as a member, and you're looking forward to being part of your growth into the future. So thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Matthew. I've enjoyed it.
And that's all from us this week. If you enjoyed that conversation with Mark, you can reach out to him on LinkedIn. And for more information about membership and what membership could look like with Instech, visit our website, www.instech.co. See you next week.